Over the last 5 years of our journey, the Lord's had me out walking with him in the... I take the dog with me, just talking with him. And sometimes just in worship. This is on my own, this isn't in church. Just really enjoying his presence, sitting with him. And over the last few months, he's really been speaking to me about the glory. And he keeps saying, the glory is coming. The glory is coming. And so the last few weeks, what I've been trying to do is prepare you for the glory to come. Because God always prepares us for what he's about to do. He never just does something. He always talks about it and prepares his people. And so he's been saying to me over and over again, the glory is coming. Now, most of the time when we teach in church, we're normally teaching to get you to do something. Okay, so how can we do the works of Jesus better? And all that is good. We have an amazing mission to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to see this world transformed. That's the mission of the church. But all of that comes out of our expectation that he would come and work amongst us. That actually it's not our mighty works, it's his mighty works. That's what we want to see. You know, Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself except what I see my Father doing. So if Jesus can do nothing by himself except what he sees the Father doing, how much more us? And then he in John 14, he says this, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And I want to ask you a question. What could that look like? What does it look like, Jesus manifesting himself to us? So I want to talk about the glory this morning. If you've got a Bible, and you should have a Bible, it's perfectly legal to have it on your phone. It's okay. But you will get into heaven faster if you've got a paper copy, okay? So turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. And we're going to start from verse 11. And this is the word of God. So why don't you stand again with me? We're going to stand as we read the word of God. I say this most weeks. This is his word. It's not my word. Okay, his word is up here. My words are down here. Here we go. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place. I should have just given you a little bit of context. What has happened is Solomon has built the temple of the Lord and he's dedicating it to the Lord, okay? And that's why the priests are in the temple. Let's pick it up again. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. That just means they got ready for what was about to happen. And with that, and the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and somewhere else, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And you know, do you remember there was another 120 hanging around? Do you remember the upper room in Acts 1? Just make a mental note, okay? Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Amen. Grab a seat. I love this story because, do you know what? We spend so much time training priests or ministers or the saints to do the works of God. Yet the high watermark is when God shows up and they can't do it. Isn't that interesting? We've got to be busy. We've got to be doing all of that. And as I said before, I believe in all of that. But the high watermark is when the presence of God comes and we can't do anything because he's there. We were once doing a meeting in a bar, and it was an outreach meeting, and we didn't have a church building at those times, and people were worshiping, and finally it was one of those days where one of the girls, she was actually in our band, she'd persuaded her dad to come to church, and he was worried or not, whether or not she was in some kind of crazy meeting. And he was a fireman, so man's man. So he'd come along to check us out, and the meeting started, and we're worshiping and praising, and the presence of God comes in the room, and people are getting very enthusiastic. They're dancing, they're shouting, then they start falling. Some of them are hopping up and down. Some are screaming, some are crying, and I'm in charge, as I thought. and the presence of God, I thought, and I'm looking at this poor man, just looking around, thinking, what on earth have I come to? Okay, and I thought, I need to calm it all down. So I walked up, this is a true story, I walked up to the microphone to calm everybody down. And my mouth wouldn't work. And I'm like, And they're watching me because they know what I'm like. You know me. I'm not overexcitable, okay? Inside, I'm dancing. I'm just trying to learn to show my face, okay? But anyway, so I'm in. I let go and I try again. My mouth just wouldn't work. Well, all these guys suddenly realize Steve can't talk. We're free. We can do what we want. Well, it got worse and worse and worse, and the power of God moved. That night, the glory of God came. The interesting thing was the girl's dad, who'd come to check us out, got saved, gave his life to Jesus. But the other interesting thing was he found his wife there as well. And a lady who'd been in the church, and she'd been in the church right from the beginning, and she was a widow. And she always wanted to remarry. And I would often look around the church and go, if you want to remarry, you're in the wrong age demographic, okay, of this, because it was all kids. And but that night, he came, saw her, fell in love, and they got married. So what I want to say is, when the glory comes, anything is possible. That's where it all happens. So if you're looking for a husband and wife, all right, I'm talking about the glory, not husband and wives, all right? You see, the goal for the Christian is that the Lord would fill his house, not that we would do his works. Because we can only do his works when he has filled his house. And you see, many have never experienced the glory, but we can only do the works of Jesus out of the glory of Jesus. You know, sometimes people ask me, you know, sometimes people fall over and they're a bit worried about it. And they said, you know, I'm not sure this stuff should happen in church. And I always answer, and I go, well, what would you expect to happen if God is in the room? You know, when I go home and I turn my light switch on, the lights come on because the power is flowing. And so when we say, well, I'm a bit worried about some of the things that happen in church, it's like saying, well, when I go home and switch the light switch on, I don't want the power to come on. You know, why would the power? You see, when we're in the presence of God, his power is flowing. And everything changes when his power is flowing. It's the normal thing of church. It's not an extraordinary thing. When we gather together, Jesus is right in our midst, so the power flows. So, what do I mean by the glory? And is God's glory different from his presence? And the answer to that is yes and no. Okay, there's a good answer for you. You see, God's glory fills the whole earth, the Bible teaches us. Numbers 14, Psalm 8, Habakkuk 3. But you can know it, but it only makes a difference if you experience it. You see, you can know it intellectually, but until you experience his glory, nothing changes. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, Moses, one of the greatest figures in the Bible, would speak to God face to face, but he still asks to see the glory. He was praying. He was talking with God like no man has ever talked with God, yet he still says, "Would you show me your glory?" And you know, when we talk about glory, we often pull in from an Aramaic word, Shekinah. And it's not, interestingly enough, it's not a word that appears in the Bible, but it's used to explain what's in the Bible, both the Old and New Testament. It means one who dwells. When we talk about the Shekinah glory of God, we're talking about the one who dwells amongst his people. Who reveals his tangible presence. And so with Moses, what God does is he says, "I'll pass by you, but I'll put my hand over you so you won't die." Because glory burns up sin. Okay, and he says, "I'm going to pass over you and you will see the back of my glory." And we worship a living God. His glory should always be amongst us. He's not like the mute idols in the Bible. He's not fake like money or power or sex. He's a living God who walks with us. And when he is with us, we become alive. You know, through the life of Moses, you know, as Moses starts to experience the presence of that tangible move of God, he comes to the burning bush. Remember the bush that isn't being consumed, and the fire of God speaks to him. The first thing the Lord says, "Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." Why? "You're in my presence and my glory is here." We see him defeat Pharaoh through the signs and wonders, culminating as he parts the sea and the people walk through. In the wilderness, they walk with a pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night, marking the presence of God is with them. And when Moses would go into the tent of meeting, the cloud of his presence would descend. And then food from heaven, water from rocks. You see, most people's experience of God is too small. My expectations of God are too small. Your expectations of God are too small. You know, Paul says to the Ephesians, he is able to do far more than you can even believe or hope for in you. The story of the Bible is that our God is too small and he's always wanting to break out of our box. But what people, you know, people often say, "Well, Steve, when you talk about that, I just don't want people to be disappointed. I don't want people to be disappointed with Jesus. What if they're not healed? What if they're not saved? What if something doesn't happen?" And what I want to say to you is you will never be disappointed with Jesus. You may have disappointments in your life. You may have trials in your life, but you will not be disappointed with Jesus Christ. You know, when I gave my life to him as a 13-year-old kid, and look, I know some people go in and out of faith and believing. I didn't. He got me at 13 years old. I've told the story. I went to kneel. They wanted me to kneel and confess my sins. I didn't get that far because the glory came. His presence came upon me. And I'm like sobbing and crying. I don't know what's going on with me. All I know is that I was never the same again because he touched my life. He turned it round. And I'm probably going to say this a few times. You cannot be in the glory and not be changed. When you are touched by God, you are changed. And you see, so when we talk about glory, it's often interchangeable with presence. However, it's it's used when there is this intense, tangible presence of God beyond everyday experience. What I'm talking about is when you go, oh my goodness, Jesus is in the room. I don't want to move. The Lord is here. That his glory fills the room. It can happen when you're at home praying. But sometimes when I'm just at home praying, I'm not going to move because he's here. A few months ago, we were at pre-service prayer. There was like five of us first, at the evening service. And we were in there, just in there praying. And just at the end, his presence just came into the room. And we were like, oh, wow, I'm not moving. And we just waited and just stayed in his presence. That night, I think Tim was talking, and he said, does anyone want to get saved? And I think 13 people just walked straight forward. They just kept coming and coming. Why? Because the glory was in the room. Everything changes when the glory's in the room. Ruth Heflin, she's a lady. She died about 20 years ago. She had a church in Jerusalem. So right in the Holy Land, and basically as people would go on tours to the Holy Land, they would often host them for morning prayer meetings or Sunday services. And they would have teams there that would minister and go out witnessing. And she speaks a lot about the glory, when the glory comes. And this is what she says. She says, it is the manifestation of his presence. He is glory. He is everywhere, but glory is the manifestation of that reality. When glory comes down, it is a bit of heaven's atmosphere coming down to us, a taste of heaven. Now, in the Old Testament and the passage we just read, the story is the glory filling the temple where God would dwell. But what does it look like today? Because everything has changed with the coming of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So we don't have a temple building anymore. We are the temple. He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we are now his temple. We are the carriers of the Holy Spirit who, if you like, we're the carriers of the glory of God. You know, how will the earth be filled with the glory of God? We are the glory carriers. We carry his presence wherever we go. So, when we gather to worship, or indeed we're in our worship closet or prayer closet or car or wherever you pray and spend time with the Lord, we start with the omnipresence of the Lord in the sense that we know he fills the earth. But that's just an intellectual start. So when we come to pray or we come to worship, we start to become more aware of him, yes? Because we know he's everywhere. We know he's in us and we know he surrounds us, but we've been distracted. You know, there's been things going on. There's children shouting and we get distracted. That's all right. So what we do is we start to go, Lord, I know you're here. So we start to draw our attention and our focus to him. Whether I know you're here or I know you're here, we reference that his presence fills the earth. And then the last few weeks we've been talking, then we enter his gates with thanksgiving. So we give our thanks. Then we enter his courts with praise. And as we do this, our awareness of him increases. So if it was like a one down here, suddenly we're at a three or a four now, because we're aware. And that's why James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So we start to approach him. So we start to walk closer. And as we do that, our awareness of God rises. And then we move into worship. And this is where the awe, the transcendence of God. And this is where the atmosphere of the room starts to change around us. It's funny, often new people that come in are often quite overcome. They'll often say to me, I just cried all the way through worship. Why? Well, because the atmosphere of the room changes and the Holy God was manifesting himself in our midst. And it's not tears of, oh, I'm a miserable person. It's tears of, I've never felt this way before. I don't even know what I'm feeling. I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm just feeling. And that's the process of coming alive. You know when the Bible says you're dead in your sin and that we become alive? Well, as we start to experience and know that the Lord is around us, we start to come alive. Now, as that is happening, healings and spiritual manifestations start happening all over the room because the temperature is changing. People start getting healed, delivered, set free. Prophetic utterances start to get released because God is around and the Spirit and the life-giving waters in us just start bubbling because the Lord is there. So, and it's not that he can't do it outside the doors, but because we're gathered and we're in this presence of God, it starts bubbling up inside of us and we go, whoa. That's like when, you know, we're praying for the knee. I didn't know if I could do this. Well, you can because you're in the presence of God. Put your hands on, and because it just started bubbling up in her. Now, the problem is often that's where we stop. But there's lots more, the Bible says. So, for instance, in the glory of God, countenance changes. So when Moses was in the glory, his face would literally shine. And the people would be, whoa. You know, when Jesus is transfigured, he shines because the glory is upon him. When Stephen is getting stoned, his face shone like an angel. Why? Because the glory was on him. So people should notice. You know, you may well have been at church and been in the glory, and then you're walking to somebody, you know, so you're talking to somebody on the bus, and they're just, what is it with you? You're shining. Why? Because you've been in the presence of God. And when the glory falls, you will look different. You change. Buildings and earthquakes. You know, prayer shakes buildings. We read it in Acts 4. You know, when the early church is worshiping and praying, and they say, Lord, stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders. The house that they were in literally starts shaking because the glory has come. I said earlier, I could sort all my building problems out. Lord, level it. But the glory comes. When Paul and Silas are in prison, they're just worshiping their socks off in prison. And there's an earthquake and all the chains fall off them. That the manifestations of God when the glory comes, and he's saying, get ready, because it's coming. There's another wave coming. But that's not it. Because then we read with Paul and John, both of them get caught up into heaven. Paul talks about it, he says, I caught up into the third heaven who saw things you're not allowed to speak of and you're not allowed to utter. Well, that's just not fair, is it? Don't you wish you knew what he saw? Well, the truth is, well, I think what he means is, I don't even have words for it. There's nothing in that. You know when the early church and the love of Jesus broke in. You know they had to make up a word for love, agape, because there wasn't one. They had to have a word that just expressed something of the love of God for people. And Paul was looking in heaven and he goes, there's just nothing. There is no words for what I saw. I cannot even begin to describe it. John, when he's taken up into heaven, when we get the book of Revelation, it's just like I fell like a rag doll on the floor. And the angel says, get up. get up, take a look around. And he's like, my strength is gone. Yeah, Daniel experienced the same thing. My strength is gone because the glory and presence of God is around. So really quick, and then we're going to finish. Where are we as a church on this journey? And that's what I've been trying to do over the last few weeks is just put a little bit of skin on the bones. I'm just trying to explain to you from the scriptures what I think the Lord is doing here. I think we're becoming more aware of his presence, yeah? Oh, that's good. It's 15 of you. It was only 5 last week. The atmosphere in the room changes, yes? Yeah, there you go. 20 have noticed that. We're seeing some miracles. You saw a few miracles this morning. Yep, but it's just the start. You know, a man the other week, we're going to try and track it down and give the whole story, but we've gone on a journey. There was a wonderful healing from cancer the other week. Amazing, amazing story. He just mentioned it quickly over the microphone, but we know some of the story because we'd asked him to get checked out. But we don't stop here. You see, all of this is a deposit of what is to come. We're only seeing dimly at the moment. Now, I can't manufacture the glory. No one can. But I can make space and tell us we need to be expectant. Because we will see what we believe. Okay, so we're making space for the glory of God to come. And we are expectant that he will come in all of his power. That he will fill this place and he will fill our lives. How will we know? You will never be the same when you've been in the glory. You can never be the same. But this is the deal. Jesus is not interested in filling buildings. He wants to fill people. We're the temples. He wants to fill you and I. He wants to fill your friends, your family, and your office. I'm going to read just a few verses from this. So we've been reading from 2 Chronicles. This is the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. Where's my marker? There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, what Paul is doing, he's talking about Moses, all right? He's talking about what happened with Moses. So that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory on his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Well, he's talking about the law and all that was happening with Moses because of the coming of Jesus. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel would not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What is he saying? He's saying, until you come to Jesus, you can't see. You know, how many remember when you came to Jesus Christ? You know, you thought, oh, church, it seems like a good idea. I think I might need God in my life. I think I need a change of direction. But it's not until you meet Jesus, you go, oh, my goodness, I had no idea. I had no idea that I was a sinner. I had no idea the mess of my life. I had no idea the trajectory of my life. And now I'm alive. I can see, so I can see so much more. That's what he's talking. But then he's saying, The problem is the whole story of the book people's eyes are veiled, and it's only by the Spirit of God, when he comes to us, that we can read and start to understand and go, this is amazing. So, just to finish. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Some translations say freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What he's saying is that as we come into the glory, that in the Old Testament, Moses couldn't behold the glory. Why? Because of the sin and the brokenness. And God had to cover his hand over him. But with the coming of Jesus, who has paid for our sin on the cross in full, and has moved and has put away the old temple, and we are now the new temple, that God used to dwell in a building, now he dwells in billions of lives. And he says, as we experience his glory, we are changed from one degree of glory to the next by the Spirit. We are being transformed. You can't be in the glory and not change. We are constantly changing and moving in to the presence of God. So when the Lord says the glory is coming, what he's saying is, I'm coming to fill you. My presence is coming. Get ready. You see, we talk a lot about God being love, but he is also glory. And he wants to come among his people. And there were 120 priests that were filled with the glory. There were 120 at Pentecost, and the church is born when the glory comes. And now there are estimated 2 billion Christians across the world. And the glory is coming again. Because I tell you, the Lord is preparing to move on the earth. And what we need here in Cromer Church, what the UK church needs, is the glory of God. That he would fall upon us and we would behold his glory. So church, the glory is coming. Get ready and hold on to your socks.